Coming up here on KNKX is a story from our weekly show, Sound Effect. Sound Effect host Gabriel Spitzer can tell you more.
You're tuned to Sound Effect. I'm Gabriel Spitzer. Today, the theme is, what are the odds? For Jason Detweiler, on any given day, the odds are about 1,000,000 to 1. Detweiler's an assistant professor of physics at the University of Washington, and he's on the hunt for a natural phenomenon that is insanely rare. But there's a good payoff. If he does find it, it may explain why the universe exists. Now, this gets at a huge mystery. Based on the way we think physics works, all the stuff in the early universe should have eaten itself, leaving nothing. And yet there seems to be something. So all this may have to do with these minuscule, invisible things called neutrinos.
Well, it's in a sense the tiniest of the fundamental particles. It's actually the second most ubiquitous particle in the universe. So despite the fact that people don't typically know much about it, it's everywhere. It's all around us. They're always zipping through us.
Wait a minute. They're zipping through our bodies?
Yes.
So right now, like I'm holding my hand out in front of me right now. Are there neutrinos passing through me?
Yeah, I think the number, it's something on the order of like hundreds of trillions of neutrinos are passing through your hand each second.
Wow. Yeah. And where are they coming from?
Most of those are coming from the sun.
These little particles flying through you right now are created in certain nuclear reactions. So once in a while, an atom, say carbon, will change into another element, say oxygen, two spots down on the periodic table. Detweiler is actually using a much more obscure element, the metal germanium. Anyway, that atomic transformation has an intimidating sounding name, double beta decay. And when it happens, the nucleus of the atom belches out these two neutrinos.
And actually, we've observed that process where that transition happens and you get two neutrinos out of that.
And how common or rare is that process?
We characterize the rarity or in terms of what's called the half-life. And the half-life is a measure of, you know, if you get 1,000 of these nuclei together, you wait one half-life and half of them will have undergone this decay. So the half-life of germanium-76 double beta decay is something on the order of 10 to the 21 years, which is more than 10 to the 10 times the age of the universe.
So wait, 10 to the 10, that's 10 billion, right?
Yes.
So for if you had 1,000 atoms, the amount of time you would expect it to take for 500 of those to undergo this interaction that you're talking about is 10 billion times longer than the universe has existed.
That's correct.
How have you found one of those?
So the only way to overcome a timescale like that is to get an extremely large number of these atoms together. So if we get a lump of germanium together, say a kilogram of germanium together, then we can expect to see something on the order of one per day of these double beta decays.
So that's a normal double beta decay. It's uncommon, but it happens. Detweiler, though, is searching for a much rarer bird, double beta decay where no neutrinos are produced, probably because they annihilated each other. See, the laws of physics predict that any process that creates matter, like the Big Bang, should make an equal amount of antimatter. And when a particle meets its antimatter evil twin, they cancel each other out. That elusive neutrino-less reaction would reinforce the theory that maybe neutrinos are their own evil twin.
And that's a very exciting possibility.
Why is that exciting?
Good question. So we look out in the universe, and the universe is made up of matter, and we don't see big pockets of antimatter because that would result in a big annihilation, and all of the antimatter would have destroyed all the matter, and we wouldn't be here.
So the fact that we are here suggests that there's stuff we don't know, right? Because since we observe matter and not antimatter, there must have been more matter, so there was some left over after all the annihilating happened?
Yeah, so there has to be some process somewhere in physics that we haven't discovered yet that allows for the creation of a slight excess of matter over antimatter. And this is where the neutrino comes in. The idea is you have some really heavy sort of big brother of the neutrino, and it could decay to matter slightly more often than that particle's decay to antimatter.
Let me make sure I understand. So the Big Bang, mm-hmm. In the first sort of microseconds or nanoseconds or whatever after the Big Bang, you got all this new stuff, and a bunch of it's matter and a bunch of it's antimatter, and then this one kind of particle, as it cools, it would have to be unique in the universe in that it would make more matter than antimatter in order for this to explain why we're all here.
Yes, yeah.
So if you find neutrinoless double beta decay, which I feel like we should come up with an acronym or a nickname for, call it a jelly donut.
Yeah.
Would that be offensive to you?
No, not really.
All right. So you're looking for this jelly donut that if it exists, you would say, all right, at least we didn't disprove this leading theory, right?
Right.
So let's zoom out again. You told me that the regular beta decay, this is your garden variety interaction where an atom jumps two places on the periodic table.
Was that double beta decay?
Double beta decay. Yes, okay. Thank you. And you said that if we have 1,000 atoms, half of them would undergo that in about 10 billion times the life of the universe.
Yes.
How rare do we think the jelly donut is?
If you observe 100,000 of these regular double beta decays, you wouldn't see a jelly donut yet. You'd have to see at least 1 million before you hope to see one of these donuts.
What do you think it would be like, though, to find it?
Oh, it'd be tremendously exciting. It would be the first physical process that humans have observed in which matter is created without the accompanying antimatter. It would be groundbreaking. This is all like a job where I get to solve puzzles like that every day.
Can we dig in on the puzzle thing a little bit more?
Yeah.
Like, I would love for you to psychoanalyze yourself a little bit. Okay. Why do you think it is so satisfying to solve a puzzle, especially one of those kind of physics or mathematical type puzzles that has to do with the nature of the universe?
There's something about like a really good math problem where you start working it out and it kind of looks like a mess for a while. And then everything simplifies down to something that's beautiful and concise. Here's a puzzle that nobody's ever encountered before.
The fact of the universe is an incredible thing. The fact of us being able to understand the laws that make it the way it is, to me, is even more amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I've been thinking about that actually a lot lately. You know, in a good sci-fi movie, you'll often have some sort of character or being that's highly evolved and is, you know, more intelligent than humans in some way. You compare us to, say, a dog or something like that, and our minds can conceive so much more of these technical aspects of the universe than that more primitive mind, at least we believe so. And it just makes me wonder, you know, to what extent do our brains, our capacity to understand, limit us from seeing beyond what we can see? That's a very interesting question to me.
Well, Jason Detweiler is an assistant professor of physics at the University of Washington. Thank you so much for coming in and talking neutrinos with us.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to buy you a jelly donut.
Great.